Hello, goddesses. Welcome to the Laugh Out Loud podcast. Tracy King, life midwife here. And joining me today, of course, are your co-hosts, Patty Cleaver and Karima Morgan. Now look, even though we are all out here spreading our black girl magic, we are not necessarily feeling black girl love, now are we? Today's topic, what's your next best move, black woman? Do you have an answer to that question, goddess? I'm not sure if we do either, but come on in anyway. Let's talk about it. I sent you guys an article entitled, What Livability Looks Like for Black Women. And I thought it was very interesting. They looked at major metropolitan areas in various cities across the United States. And they had to have at least 100,000 black women or more in order for them to be included in it. And what they looked at was health, education, economics, and then which areas were best for black women. What was your first take on it? Like when you read it, what was your first reaction?
Well, initially, I wasn't surprised by anything I saw, how they ranked the cities and what they broke down. I actually read an article very similar to that a while back, but it actually placed black professionals. So it said, well, what's the best place to live for young black professionals? And it literally looks exactly the same, just like what you have there. Mm-hmm. Like the DC was at the top and Pittsburgh, Cleveland was at the bottom. And so it literally mimicked that. So that part wasn't a surprise. And then actually living in Cleveland, I'm in Cleveland, y'all. I feel it. You feel that it's not a good place to grow professionally for a black woman. I'm not saying that you can't, but I don't see the resources like I would like to see. You know, I feel like I'm constantly reinventing the wheel because I have no basis to go on. Right. So everything I have to learn from scratch.
Okay. And we have a colleague who is initially from Chicago and, you know, like she did some of her residency type stuff in other states. And one of the things that she said that always sticks in my head is like when you work in Cleveland, it's like you work hard, like it's real hard work. And you could go to any other city, to any other place, and it's not the same. And when I was reading this article, that's what came to mind for me is like, damn, you know, we still scraping and scrounging and gotta, you know, try to force things to get them to work. So yeah, I agree with that about Cleveland, unfortunately.
So one of the things that I wrote down is that no city is doing complete justice to black women's lives. And some of the statistics in the article talk about the median annual earnings of women, black women declined by 5% between 2004 and 2014, despite that more black women had a bachelor's degree and the earning was roughly 61 cents for every dollar made by white men. So basically what it's saying is it doesn't matter if you go to school, it doesn't matter if you are more educated or understand the workforce or what really matters is the color of your skin and your gender. So if you fall into this category, you're not going to excel in certain cities. Mm-hmm. That's what I took out of it. And that statement that no city is doing complete justice to black women, that bothers me. Yeah. That irks my soul, actually.
Yeah, you're not alone with that one. DC ranks at the top of the list, except in the area of health. What do you think about that statement? Like, does that feel true? So you got more, it's not even just more sick people, but like the disparity with, and oh God, I hate to go down this road because y'all know how irritated I am with the whole maternal child community, but in dealing with infant and maternal mortality. That is, that's just proven to be higher there. At least I think that's what I read.
Yeah, I think I saw that too.
That, yeah.
That the health that suffers there.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be contributed to a lot of things. It mentioned that, you know, by being an area with concentrated government contracts and government employees, you have a lot of government employed there. So that just makes me think of the hustle and bustle and just the things that go on there, that do you have time to go to the doctor? Are you being seen like you're supposed to be seen? Are you seeing your practitioner for wellness visits as opposed to when you just stressed out and sick?
Mm-hmm.
And so I could see it in the city.
I coincide that with a couple thoughts. Working for a government could be stressful, right? Mm-hmm. Depending on who your manager is, how you're, a lot of people work in government jobs and they do just what they, you know, just the minimum, right? You know, I'm gonna punch in, I'm gonna sit at my desk and I'm gonna leave at 4 o'clock. But I think that if I had, as an African-American woman, I know for me, when I'm like, I feel like I'm stuck in middle management. Like I want to excel up here, but I can't get from the place that I do really well at, which is coordinating all these different things, to that next step. It can be stressful working for the government. Basically, you're in a government position, your expectations are this, you know, you got 50 other people over here doing this, this is what you need to do. And I think we put pressure on ourselves. So then you got more cortisol in your system. We were probably born with more cortisol in our system. So more stress-related illnesses. And I do agree with you, Karima, less time to go to the doctor. Less doctors speaking to us saying, hey, I'm here for the Black community. You know, this is an African-American women's health center. You know, come here, get treated, see somebody. Putting all of those resources in one house so we don't have to go to 50 different doors, you know, because we don't have time.
Right.
Because most Black women are trying to balance the family, the job, you know, their own health.
Lifestyle, everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we were taught to put ourselves last. And so that happens.
Right.
So you'll make sure the kids get to where they need to be, to the doctor, whatever. And the significant other, you're kind of supported for that no matter what. And then when there's something left, now you look for yourself. And so I think that has a lot to do with it too, especially with Black women.
Mm-hmm.
It's always, I remember my grandmother would always, she was always the last one getting the plate. And in her mind, she just says, well, I need to make sure everybody eats. And that was instilled into her back when. So it was always like that until when she got older and then we were fixing her plate. But even when I had a young family, it's like, okay, I got to make sure the kids eat, not just have whatever. And so that goes to, I think that says a lot towards what we're doing and how we're trying to manage our health, especially in places like that. I don't think it's a priority. So I could see how it will fall by the wayside.
Right. Yeah. And then when we are head of household, you know, and we're trying to multitask and do all of these things, we take on that whole do whatever you need to do to make it work. And unfortunately, we do always end up, you know, being at the bottom of that or not on the list. We talked about that before. We ain't even on the list.
Didn't even make the list.
Right. And it's so crazy. And for me, like the whole idea of hustling, like, people always admired that about me. And I'm like, that was the dumbest thing I ever did. What are you talking about? Like, so working multiple jobs, trying to make ends meet, trying to maintain my family, trying to do a little something for myself, and working all of those jobs at any one time. Yes, it afforded me the lifestyle that I thought I wanted at the time, but it also contributed to my stressors. The overeating, being overweight, the whole just, it contributed to my craziness. I don't take away from that, but it's not something that I recommend. And so I think like we get in our minds like, yeah, I'm a hustler, hustle hard, you know? And so you see all these different sayings and people wearing it on their shirts and shit. And I'm like, I don't know if that's the best thing for us. I don't know.
Hey, how are you liking the podcast so far? We are loving it. And can I just tell you, it's a lot easier to do than I thought it would ever be. First of all, with Anchor, it's free. They have their own creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast from your phone or your computer, which I love. And yes, I do use both. They even distribute the podcast on various platforms. I mean, we are now on Spotify, Apple, Pandora, and many more. And did I tell you that you can make money from your podcast too? Mm-hmm, you can, and with minimum listenership. Doesn't that sound like everything you need to make a podcast? And it's all in one place. Isn't that so cool? So what are you waiting for? All you have to do is download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Girl, have you been listening to the Laugh Out Loud podcast? We are having a ball. We are talking about everything. We finished our first season and it was a blast, and now we're going into our second season and we're talking about everything about the V and sex and you and me and all of that good stuff. So you need to join us and come and get together. We need listener support. We're looking forward to having you follow us on Anchor and all our other podcast outlets. We need to get it together, girls. Come and follow us at Laugh Out Loud, Life After 50. We love you. Can't wait to see you follow.
If you are enjoying the Laugh Out Loud podcast as much as we are enjoying creating it, then consider becoming a supporter. You can do so by going over to anchor.fm/laughoutloud/support. Your donation will help sustain future episodes, expand our platform, and reach our tribe. So come on, show your love. Again, that's anchor.fm/laughoutloud/support. Or just click the link in the description. We love you and thank you. You all right, Patty? Your face just getting more and more scrunched as you sit in there. And I'm like, okay, release that tension. Like, we got to do those tapping thing.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I like tapping.
It's really disheartening, like what Patty was mentioning. Yeah. Like, if you get a degree, you get all these things, especially Black women, you get all this and do all that, and you're still not making the same amount of money. Mm-hmm. You're still not equal in any way, but you're working just as hard. So... that's discouraging.
If not harder.
Probably harder. Mm-hmm. And that's discouraging too. So then you start to think like, well, what's the point?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think too, another thing that we don't take into consideration with the Black health is epigenetics. So we are already starting out at a loss, right? Just being a descendant of a slave puts me at a loss, right? You know, and then I get into this competitive workforce. And the other part about it, too, is it's really expensive to live in this area. So you're right about that, multiple jobs and trying to manage multiple things. You know, that doesn't help. I was sitting here when you were talking, and I was thinking, damn, what does make sense? Because you know, for me, I can't, like, I'm not there yet where I can just be, like, completely on early retirement. So what is... you know, like, okay, first of all, I got to figure out what's the best livable city to be in. It looks like, you know, I'm not too far from, you know, like I could end up with a government job in DC or something like that. But then does that really help me if I don't have the internal fortitude to rise up against some of these issues?
Right.
You know, despite the growth in the number of companies owned by Black women, the gap between the average revenues for those businesses and the average revenues for all women-owned businesses is $24,700 mm-hmm. to $143,400, the largest gap of any race.
Yeah. It's unnerving even just looking at that.
Mm-hmm. So my question is, how do you respond to that? How do you move forward from that? Is it something that impacts you personally that you say that you can do or won't do? Or is it just looking at the general picture? Just we as Black women, this is one more obstacle that has to be done.
I like a lot of the advocacy things that I'm seeing, like individual advocacy, like people really like stepping outside of the box and doing creative things for themselves. There's a lot more African-American accomplishment being seen, you know, and I don't know how much of stuff is true on social media, but it looks like we're stepping into areas that maybe 10 or 20 years ago, we weren't stepping into. But I think the other part of it is, yeah, as an individual, how do I become a force to be reckoned with in some of these areas? Like, what do I do?
Right.
Some of this stuff is rooted in policy. A lot of policymakers may not be African-American, like state level policy, federal level policy, you know, as far as wage earning for Black women. And some of these things can be addressed at a policy level, and then you can promote for change.
Okay, that was weird, but okay.
No, it's not weird, because that's the only, I mean, like, it needs to be written down.
Not what you're saying is weird. Not what you're saying.
It's not like Max, who was that, Max Headroom? What was that used to come on TV? It was just the head. That's what she said.
Oh, something happened.
Robotic. Robotic for a minute.
I'm just wondering, too, if I didn't read the article and didn't know that.
Right.
How do you maintain, you know, how do you say, okay, this is me, this is where I'm at, what do I need to do? Or do I need to look for stuff like that out there and let that push me in one direction or the other?
So I think on a personal level, that doesn't matter to me because I am who I am and I'm gonna push how I push to mm-hmm. work and, you know, to kind of take care of myself. But right. in looking at it for Black women overall, I'm trying to get myself to the pre-article mind, but
right.
looking at it from that perspective, it's just a disheartening thing for me to look up and to try to pull my sisters with me. Like, it in and of itself can sometimes be a struggle. Mm-hmm. And it's like, man, I can't want more for you than you want for you. Mm-hmm. So then I think that takes it to an individual level where I think more conversations have to be had. I think more support and openness has to be had. I think we have to step back and out of the mindset of competition and more on collaboration and support for one another. Mm-hmm. And I think that for just us in general, as well as in business, whether we're starting our own businesses or what have you, I think there should be more support out there.
Yeah.
Because we don't know, you know, it's one of those things where I think you just don't know what you don't know.
And knowledge is power. And that's what I was saying about it. I love that saying that knowledge is power. So, pre-article, I'm doing whatever, this kind of opens my eyes and say, you know, not everybody is in the same situation that you're in. Not everybody has had the same leg up. Not everybody has the same path to go. And so I think that really opens the eyes to that. That's all I was saying.
I was at work and I have a person who works closely to me who was hired before I got there. And I had to adjust my schedule in order for this person to come on to the team because there was some miscommunication before I got hired or she got hired. And so initially there was like this competitiveness that was happening. And I just said, listen, how about we help each other. How about, we can interview for the same jobs. We can, and it finally came out one day that, she finally said, oh, I'm hoping to be the executive director of a company, and maybe she was looking at our job as our company as having one of those options. But underneath, that conversation hadn't happened, right? It was just like, I could feel it and I could feel the competitive nature. And I said, we can both grow here. Like there doesn't need to be competition. Let's move the chess pieces around and make them work for us. That's what other people have been doing all along. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you, it was such like, you could feel it, right? Mm-hmm. You can feel it because the competitiveness was making me want to do stuff that I didn't even know if I really wanted to do.
Right.
It was just like, fuck it, I gotta win, you know what I mean? That mentality, right? And I was like, oh, I'm over this. Like, let's just have this conversation. I was like, I wish you the best. My heart is this pure that if you get a job that I go after, I'm gonna shake your hand. And vice versa. And, oh, maybe it might sting a little bit. Yeah, because I've been in this for a minute.
Right.
But obviously somebody sees you as the stronger candidate.
And I'm not here to step on your neck to have my come up.
Right.
No.
Can we both come up?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
what's for me is for me. And what's for you is for you. And if it's meant to be, you'll be there or I'll be there. It doesn't matter. But that doesn't mean that we have to be in direct competition all the time. And I think we've been pitted against one another.
Mm-hmm.
In the workplace, everywhere. And so that's probably a barrier that we need to work at breaking down.
Mm-hmm.
I never felt that
because at work. Because it is such a you gotta have more finances in order to survive and make it work and da da da. Because because this young lady really has a great reputation in the community. So I said, what made you come here? Because this is almost like a startup, and never really unveiling that, but it was the same reason I came, that was fine. But now in my mind, I'm just thinking how many more let me help you grow, how many more let me help you grow conversations need to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You help me grow, I help you grow, because right. We all have like strengths and weaknesses, Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, KB, you was ready to say something. What are you laughing at?
I'm just saying, at work, I can't say that I felt that. Maybe I have to think about it with all the different jobs I've had. But I don't feel like anybody is my equal at work. I don't care. So it's hard, in that environment for me, because I am one of those that come there, what do I need to do? And being a healthcare worker is, to me, it's always about the patient, and everything else is, is secondary.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never felt like, oh my gosh, we're going for the same thing and I have to be better than you. And so that's stressful in itself. Like, I'm just really trying to come to work and make money and feed my family. But at the same time, now I got to watch you and watch my back because I don't even know what's going on.
But we didn't do it that way, because to me that's a different environment, and it's not that we were competing against the white women were, though. The white women were in competition. Who gonna get management? Who gonna do this? Who gonna do that? And then they coming in trying to be the pet. I'm like, I ain't got time to be doing all of that. You ain't got a brown nose. Don't brown nose me, damn it, because you do your job or you don't. Get the fuck out of here. And so I think that was like a different setting. But going into when you're in administration, when you're in positions like Patty is in, that's when you start seeing that kind of competitiveness for real.
No, I agree. That's what I'm saying. Like, I can't imagine you actually coming to that realization that then, like, hey, look, like that had to take everything. for you to be able to do that. And right. I was saying that to say, like, I can't even imagine being at work and that's the issue and now how they're looking at everybody. Me personally, like, that would be so stressful to me. It would have me reevaluating a whole lot.
Yeah.
Because it just seems stressful. It just seems stressful.
I didn't feel that level of stress until I actually stepped in administration with ITT, and it wasn't that somebody else was in my immediate vicinity as being pitted as competitors, but it was each of the nursing chairs at right. the schools and levels. I was like, why are we not working together to do A, B, C, and D? And everybody's in competition for this, and we all in competition, and we all fighting for the same stuff. Why can't we just collaborate, do the same stuff? Like, it was crazy.
And I hated that.
I was like, oh my God. I remember setting up, we had these little automated mannequins and they did all kind of stuff and it gave birth and did all this stuff, but nobody really knew how to use it. And so I contacted the company because I was like, I'm new here. I need to know what's going on, da 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 da. And he was like, oh, we can send somebody out. We can do a training. So I invited everybody to our facility to just have it. And you would have thought, it was just crazy. You would have thought that I was like, I just felt like a unicorn there. Because it was like, oh, we doing this together? We doing something together? And it was always about the competition. So I think that's a struggle for us.
If you are enjoying the Laugh Out Loud podcast as much as we are enjoying creating it, then consider becoming a supporter. You can do so by going over to anchor.fm/laughoutloud/support. Your donation will help sustain future episodes, expand our platform, and reach our tribe. So come on, show your love. Again, that's anchor.fm/laughoutloud/support. Or just click the link in the description. We love you and thank you.
All right, so we put competitiveness on the table, taking that out of the, like taking that down. I want to take that down with a vengeance. Like, y'all just don't even know.
collab and not compete.
Everything is about the collab, for real. Like, it just is. And there's so much that we can do, whether we're at the same, in the same company. Like, just like you, both of y'all moved to DC from a different part of that company. Well, if they grow, there might be a position at another facility, and then both of y'all could be in that same position. So it's just like, we don't have to really compete like that. Let's keep, doing this part. So I love taking the competition out of it. That's a lot less stressful for everybody involved. Right. And then mentoring, I think mentorship is very important, and just being supportive of one another, I think that's also important. I think one of the things that breaks my heart the most is that people don't see value in themselves, and so they don't care to do anything in any of these areas that we're talking about, health-wise, economically, like, just none of it. They don't care to, so how do you get around, like, helping people to change their mindset and to change their outlook? I think they don't see, like, with the law of attraction and all these different things that we talk about, like, seeing the end result as if it is already going on. But you have to be, when you don't see an end result and you think that your day-to-day is just the same old day in and day out, why should you care? And what would make people want to do something else? Now that piece.
I think exposure has a lot to do with it too. If you haven't seen anything, sure. I mean, internet is there, so you can look at a lot of stuff. But if you have never been anywhere or never seen anything outside your tiny community, then a lot of times it's not even a reality to you.
Yeah.
It's not even a reality to you. So I think when they have, my daughter was in a program when she was away at school, I think it's the National Association of Black Engineers. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you they took this group of, I won't say kids, but college students everywhere, they went everywhere. And so I was excited to see her reaction, to be able to go. But she's like, oh my God, we're in Tennessee. Oh my God, we're going to LA. Oh my God, we're going here. And I was just like, wow, like you need to see that stuff. And she was sending the little pictures back of like the hotels. And she'd be like, it's weird. We went to Chicago. And when I tell you this Macy's was like 90 stories tall and you had all these floors, like she was just so excited. And so to see that and to know that you're being exposed to other things, it gives you either ambition or something to look at or to know something else is out there.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we fall short a lot of times in my own community. We're not able to get out and get to places or see places. And I think just having that exposure kind of sparks things in people. And so that's why even when I was talking about, oh, we're going to do the Black-owned business tour. Like, I'm so on that. Like, we need to go different places and just see what it's like to be someplace. Because I kid you not, even when I go on vacation and stuff and you get out and just the environment in another city, it feels totally different. It just, you know, you're not at home. You know it's something different. And so you're excited about the new things that you see. And there's nothing like that. So I really do feel sorry for people who can't get out or get around and see things. Mm-hmm. But I think as parents, like, it's our responsibility. Even if you stay, like, I live in Cleveland, we stay here our whole lives, I think it's still my responsibility to expose my children to other areas.
Yeah.
Other places.
Yeah, I agree. And as you were talking, that's exactly what I was thinking about your business tour.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, man, like that needs to happen. The other thing I think that we don't look at is asking. We don't ask. We don't ask questions. We don't ask for help. And we just take it as it comes. So I think that that's a difficult space to be in. So getting out of our own way, I think, can be part of the resolution. And I think these are like grassroots ideas that we're talking about. But Patty, I love that you brought up policy, because policies definitely need to be changed. That 61 cents on a dollar we hustle for, and it's like, damn, I can't get a full dollar for real. Like that was, I don't know. That made me mad, actually.
But you're right. Policy is, things have to be changed. Even in the organizations I belong to, you always hear about, you know, policy. We have to work on a policy, because until it's put in writing and made official, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's like from the government. I mean, I'm hoping that, you know, the cities that were talked about in this article are talking about this article as much as we are, and having the stunt in their thinking that we are, because just the, you know, like, okay, I know that there needs to be something done. I'm not sure what that is, what that needs to be. But at least you're like, okay, we're out here. We're, you know, somebody just took our sweater off in the middle of the public, and we need to, you know, really address what's being said.
Right.
As a city, as a county, as a nation, you know. And I do think, so there's state policy, you know, there's county government, there, you know, we need to look at that from that perspective, like really intentionally be about changing what's happening with our culture.
Yeah.
I really like that you mentioned mentoring, because although I've done that before and I've always liked that, I don't always make time for that. So I really think it's important to make time for mentoring, you know, be it if it's someone that wants to go into your career or not, just the fact of them seeing a Black female professional, period. like gives them a whole insight. And I know I was going through that with my son when he was growing up. I was like, he needs to see a young Black male in a suit. Like, you need to see that because your environment is not that. So I need you to notice that there's other things. So I think mentoring, finding a way, I don't care if it's 15 minutes a week, to find some way to reach out, because people are not going to always reach out to you. So I think we owe it to reach back or reach out, even if it's just those 15 minutes for someone who either needs to see what you're doing or trying to do the same things that you do. It makes a world of difference. And so I think mentoring needs to be a big part of whatever the push is. And I never really thought about that until you said it.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
You have to find some way. But when you try, remember Tracy, when I was trying to do that, I was going to speak for, what was that? The senior, some kind of seniors community. And the lady was doing all kind of crazy stuff and she didn't want to give me a time. She didn't want to give me anything. But she wanted me to commit to that. And I was like, oh my God, like I really love to do that. And I can speak, not a problem. We can talk, but you're not going to have me in there crazy either because of your craziness. And so I literally had to back out of that, and she just never got back to me. She probably felt some type of way, but I'm like, yo, shit not together. You're not about to bring me in.
Right.
And have my shit on top of your shit. And so you just, you looked at that. It's like, that would be a nice way of being able to give back or whatever. But at the same time, you're not going to stress me out while you're doing it.
Right. Right. But sometimes we can't help it because we're stressed out because we're the only one in our job and we're the only one responsible for
everything.
Everything. Everything.
Right.
And you're like, damn it, was that in my job description? No, but they had the right to add it in. Who the fuck? You got the right to add in some more money too then. We need to put that in the clause because that's crazy. But yeah. Even then, even when you're getting the additional monies, it's not always worth your sanity. I think the collaborating to help women in business, to develop a business, to expand your business, to start a business. I think those types of things fall under all of these. Exposure, the mentoring, the collaboration, and just bringing that in and doing that for other people. I think that is going to be a big thing for us. The crazy thing is that people just have been falling into our laps anyway. And I think the majority of them are Black women. And it's just that we don't know what we didn't know. You know, we don't know how to go about starting a business. But now that we're learning, I am seeing a lot of people, Black women, who are turning around and like, okay, oh, if I did it, you can do it. I started this business, you can start a business. Let me show you, you know? And so I think that's how those numbers, I think it just kind of, the numbers for us becoming entrepreneurs over the past few years, I think that's why those numbers have escalated. And I hope to continue to see those escalate. I think that, and like I was telling you, and I still believe, whatever it is you can think about that you think you might want a business in, just start it. Just do it. Because there's not enough of it in circulation. There's not enough of us out there, no matter what you want to do. So starting businesses of our own, I think, will help to offset some of this stuff. It's not about getting up and leaving either. So Kareem, I think that you were alluding to that a little bit earlier. I don't think that we have to get up to leave, but I do think we have to get up to do something. Mm-hmm. So
that's just what I was saying. Not everybody can just get up and leave. Not everybody wants to get up and leave. So
right. Exactly.
Even the article that she touched on that saying, you know, now you're shaming the people to stay, and then now people, you selling out to leave. Like, you stuck no matter what you do, but you have to make a decision.
Right. So,
yeah, what do you do? I mean, and you have that information now. So what do you do with it?
Yes, yeah, it's under that part where they were talking about that Black folks began arguing among themselves again instead of looking at the systems, policies, and people responsible again, you know?
Right. All the things we talked about that we said we have to stop. If you decide that you want to leave, more power to you. Can you just accept me where I am, for who I am, and how I am? And let's just agree that.
I think that was your first business idea. We incorporated women, something.
Women empowered, yep. And that's what it is. It's like just, if we can just accept one another, and it's Black people, period. Just, okay, you got all of these different people with all of these different ideals, and that's fine. We just need to accept one another's ideals and stop trying to force our own onto each other and then be like, oh, they stupid and I don't want to work with them. And, you know, all of these different complaints and bickering and all of that stuff really needs to stop.
The competition again, like you said, competition. As opposed
to think like there's a lot of things that play into that though. And so it goes back to the epigenetics, right? Just that trauma response, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm already operating from that place, my response is going to be us against them, or, you know, that kind of mentality, you know, because I'm already operating from this deficit of information and more cortisol than I need. You know what I mean? All of these things are in my system and running amok. So when it comes to me collaborating with you, those things are running around in my head.
Right.
You know? So I think it's a combination of things that we could benefit from as Black women, you know, culturally. It's like the therapy, working together with therapy, working together with policy, working together with this, you know, all of these different things from a global perspective to a more intimate perspective.
And I think that's the piece that you were talking about when you started talking about my idea about We Inc. And it was based on a tier system, whereas there were three main tiers. And the first tier is healthcare. So your physical health, but also your mental health fell under that. The second tier was kind of like, I called them enhancements. So anything that would enhance your health, anything that would enhance your life, whatever. So whether it was doing like exercising or like teaching nutrition, that was mainly like the educational components that fit into there. And then the third tier was like advancement. So, okay, so what do I need to do to ultimately get to where I want to be? And what are those advanced services going to look like? So career development and placement, do I go to college? What is, you know, mapping out a plan for your life, basically. And I think that if we can find a way to, I still believe in that model where if everything is taken care of, or if we, and we do it out of one building, like, in my mind, I saw a healthcare facility on one level, a daycare, childcare facility 24/7 on another level, and then the other level is all the other services. And I think that something like that could really work. You need the time, you need the people, you need investors, and people need to value Black women and what Black women actually offer society. And we offer so much more than what is reflected back to us. So yeah, I still would like to see something like that. I'll work my way back around, but I have to, I still believe, I'm believing now that self-love has to be that, the core.
No, it is, it's foundational.
Gotta
because
be.
Only in that place am I able to even reach out to that next person. Only in that place have I kind of put my cortisol to rest, so to speak. You know, I got enough coping skills that it's not at the front.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. So. Yes, but there are things that we can do. So we can figure out what's within our control and work from there.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Like, it was such a heavy topic that it was almost like paralyzing. Like, fuck. Because I'm like, I think we should hit this topic one more time. I think today was the education version. And then, you know, now we need to hit it one more time where we're uh-huh. like fully dialoguing and not, we were traumatized by the trauma.
Right, though. You just like, man.
The whole article was traumatized.
Yeah, and I think all of us kind of went down. I feel like I went from sitting upright to being slumped over.
Y'all like this. Like,
right.
But you're right, because it's like, oh, we doing something and I'm doing this or whatever. Then you read the article like, you ain't doing shit.
Right.
Look at what's going on with the in general. You're like, man, yeah. So right. it does kind of make you, it opens your eyes. Yeah. And you're like, wow, I didn't, might not have looked at it from all of those perspectives.
Yeah.
So yeah. I get it.
Whew. Right. You're changing my life slowly but surely. I hate this podcast.
You're always making me think about shit. Oh my goodness.
Like, I gotta think. It's Friday. I gotta think today.
Right.
Oh, man.
All right, y'all. That's a wrap. Whew. We didn't expect to have an all-out battle today, but that's what it felt like. Anyway, we are determined to win the war. But that has to start with us, I think, as individuals, right? Understanding who we are, loving ourselves and then others, and navigating our own life's journey so that it flows the way we want it to flow, you know? And so for that reason, amongst others, you need to stop playing. Stop playing and sign up for the Back to Life experience. It's virtual and it's necessary for your journey, goddess. So go over to rerc.me/rebirthme and sign up right now. Don't wait, because if you do, it's just going to keep you one step further away from your goal of becoming and living as the ultimate goddess of your life. So that piece right there, go over and do that piece for yourself. Do for you first. Then please do me a favor. Make sure you show the Laugh Out Loud podcast some love. Subscribe, share, rate the podcast. We own numerous podcast outlets now, so if we're not on your favorite one, please feel free to reach out. Let us know so we can add that one right in too. And let us know if you have any questions or comments about anything we've talked about. We'd love to hear from you. So for any and all correspondence, please send it to questions@laughwithus.com. That's laughwithus.com. All right. Thank you so much for joining us today, goddess. Until next time, continue to spread your Black girl magic. The world needs it, whether they know it or not, don't even matter. But you remember that this is your life to live. So live it. Out loud and on purpose. From the ladies here at the Laugh Out Loud podcast, much love to you now and always. Keep laughing. Mwah.